had finished. Orfeo was a healer. His people loved him. He was a musician, too, and played the lyre to soothe the sick and suffering. He came from Greenland. Of the six mages who ruled Atlantis, Orfeo was the greatest. His powers were unsurpassed, as yours may be, child. Astrid laughed harshly. You're wrong, Raja. So wrong. It's not true. Orfeo's not my ancestor. The whole idea is totally ridiculous. I mean, if you only knew... Knew what? Raja asked. Never mind, just forget it, Astrid said. I can't be a part of this nutty little playdate any longer. The realms are on the verge of war, in case you haven't noticed. I'm going home to make myself useful.
You can't leave, Seraphina said, in spite of the distrust she felt for Astrid.
We're supposed to be six, just like the six who ruled, not five. Raja said our powers put together would be extraordinary. There's no hope of defeating the monster without all of us.
I have news for you. There's no hope of defeating it with all of us. We're six kids. The only ones dreaming are them.
She hooked her thumb in Raja's direction. They need to stop their bogus chanting, raise an army, and go after this thing.
One who does not yet believe, Raja said.
You're right about that, Astrid said. I don't believe. I don't believe I came here. I don't believe I wasted my time on this. I don't believe I'm listening to this nonsense.
Excuse me, it was Becca. Her voice, unlike Sarah's and Astrid's, was calm and unruffled. This isn't helping us make any progress. Where exactly is the Carceron? She asked, taking a piece of kelp parchment and a squid ink pen out of her traveling case.
All we know is that it's somewhere in the southern sea, Raja replied.
Well, that narrows it down, Astrid said.
Becca jotted down a few notes, then asked, What are the talismans?
We don't know, Raja said. Meadow did not reveal them to us. We believe she hid them so no one could ever use them to free Abaddon.
If she was so worried about the possibility, why didn't she destroy them?
Because they are indestructible. They were given by the gods.
Any ideas where she hid them?
No, Raja said.
Of course not, Astrid said. Why do you keep asking questions, Becca? You're not getting any answers. Don't you ever give up?
Becca's glasses had slipped down her nose. She pushed them back up. No, Astrid, I don't. She turned back to Raja. And Abaddon, any ideas what it might be made of? Becca asked.
It looked like it was made of darkness, but how could that be? Ling asked.
Only Orfeo has the answer to your questions, and he's been dead for 4,000 years. Not even the five mages who fought Abaddon knew. That's why they couldn't kill him, Raja replied.
The most powerful magi of all time couldn't kill Abaddon, but we're supposed to, Astrid said.
Ever hear of positive thinking, Mina? Ava asked testily.
Ever hear of rational thinking? How are we supposed to kill it? Sneak up on it? It has like a dozen hands, with eyes in them. We'll never even get close to it, Astrid said.
So what should we do? Just go home? Go shoaling? Go shopping? Pretend none of this ever happened? Ling asked heatedly.
Yes, Astrid shouted.
Wait, calm down, everyone. Let's take a deep breath and look at what we know, Becca said.
Which is, hold on, let me see. Nothing, Astrid said. We don't know what the talismans are, or where they are. We don't know exactly where the monster is, or what it is.
We do know, Becca began,
that we're going to get our asses kicked, Astrid said. Abaddon killed thousands of people. He sank an entire island.
I would appreciate it if you would stop interrupting me, Becca said. And I would appreciate it if you would stop being mental. You're unbelievably rude. You're clueless.
Stop arguing, please, Seraphina said, trying to hold the group together. It's not helping.
You're right, it's not, Astrid said. So hey, let's just poison everybody. Problem solved. Isn't that how they do things in your neck of the water?
Whoa, Ling said. Time out.
Astrid, you are totally out of line, Ava said. But Astrid didn't listen, and Seraphina, infuriated, started tossing insults back at her. And everyone else just talked louder. A few minutes later, they were all arguing, shouting, and flipping their tail fins at one another.
I grow tired. I shall leave you now, Raja suddenly said, the sound of defeat in her voice. The novices have prepared food for you, and beds.
She turned to go.
Thank you, Baba Raja, but I won't need a bed. I'm heading out, Astrid said.
Raja spun around, her eyes bored into Astrid.
Orfeo had great powers, child, the greatest the world has ever seen. He had to choose how to use them. He chose evil.
Magic is what you make it. Astrid's angry expression cracked. It fell from her face like ice off a glacier, revealing raw fear.
But Baba Vraja, you don't understand. I can't choose, she said.
It was too late. Vraja was gone. The doors closed behind her. The six mermaids were by themselves. Chapter 44. Seraphina looked at Astrid.
What was that about? She asked.
Nothing, Astrid said brusquely.
It's been real, Merles. Good luck with it all.
She tried to swim out of Raja's study, but two armed frogs blocked her. They waited until she stopped shouting, then one of them spoke.
Can you tell me what he said? Astrid asked Ling.
So sorry, I don't speak Tingju.
Tingju? What does that mean? The guards don't speak Tingju, they speak Amphobus.
Ling smiled tightly.
Tingju means jerk, and I wasn't talking about the guards.
Sorry, Astrid said stiffly.
Can you please tell me what he said?
He said, you will stay as Baba Vraja instructed. There is danger in the darkness. You will be safe here.
Safe? Yeah, sure, Astrid muttered, looking pointedly at Seraphina.
As long as I don't eat anything. Seraphina said nothing, but her fins flared. A young river witch appeared and led the mermaids to a suite of rooms. One contained a round stone dining table and chairs, another beds. Two more witches brought food, and the six mermaids sat down to eat a late supper. The food was simple, but fresh and delicious. Salted frog's eggs, pickled water spiders, plump leeches and algae sauce, and a salad of marsh grass topped with crunchy water beetles. Sarah was quiet during the meal, overwhelmed by the enormity of what she'd learned in Vraja's study, and what she'd witnessed in the Incantarium. As she ate, she realized that everything she'd been taught about the origins of her people was a lie. Mero had sought to protect the Mer by wiping out all traces of the truth of their beginnings, but instead she'd left them dangerously vulnerable to the very evil she'd tried to defeat. Mero, the first Regina, a mermaid so revered that in the minds of the Mer she was seen as infallible, had made a mistake, a big one, and now it was up to herself and five other teenagers to put it right. Sarah remembered the towering statue of her ancestor that had stood in the grounds of the palace. She saw herself, as she had been only weeks ago, looking up at Mero, looking up to Mero, that Merle, dressed in a beautiful silk gown, surrounded by Janichari, protected from the cruelties of the world by her powerful mother, seemed so innocent and naive to her now, a child, one who'd lived in a world made for her, not by her, by decisions made for her, under Mero's many decrees. Part of Sarah still felt like that child, and still longed for the strength and wisdom of her mother. But another braver part realized that childhood was over and that she'd have to find her own way through this, just as she'd been finding her way ever since she'd fled Cerulea. When everyone had finished eating, Ava fed the scraps to Baby. Seraphina, Neela, and Becca cleared the dishes. Ling took out the letter tiles Lena had given her and started making words with them. Astrid pulled a Kabbalah bong ball out of her satchel and started bouncing it against a wall, keeping up a steady thwack, thwack, thwack. Neela cast a song spell to turn up the light in the dining room. Instead of brightening, though, the lava globes promptly dimmed.
Oops, she said, looking embarrassed.
One who keeps the light, Ling said in a spooky voice.
Descended from the great mage Navi, Becca chimed in.
Seraphina restored the light and everyone cracked up, including Neela, but the laughter was short-lived. Neela suddenly lowered her face into her hands and said,
Oh, gods, it's not funny. It's so not. One who keeps the light? Please, what if we find the Carceron and instead of unleashing a frag on Abaddon, I dim the lights?
I know, Ling said, rearranging her letter tiles with her good hand.
I'm worried about the same thing. I mean, how will my great powers of language help defeat the monster? What am I supposed to do? Reason with him?
Tell him to use his words, Neela joked.
Ava, giggling at that, choked on her drink. Her noisy snarf made the others giggle, too.
You could tell him that bullying is totally unacceptable, Becca suggested.
Or that he needs to start making good choices, Sarah said.
Tell Krabby Abby he's going to sit on a naughty chair if he sinks one more island, Astrid said, catching her ball. The other five looked at her, astonished. Then they all burst into loud, hysterical laughter and couldn't stop. Becca laughed so hard she snorted like a walrus. Seraphina wheezed. Ava held her sides. Ling had tears in her eyes. Neela turned sky blue.
Astrid, you're funny, Ling said when the laughter had subsided. Who knew? Don't tell anyone, Astrid said, bouncing her ball again.
Ah, gatinas, Ava said. How do we do this? Where do we start?
Excellent questions, Becca said. How do we find out what the talismans are and where they are? Neela asked.
Before Trejo does, Serafina added.
Who's Trejo? Becca asked. Serafina glanced at Astrid, searching her face for some telltale sign, a twitch, a widening of the eyes, that might betray her knowledge of this merman. But Astrid gave none. Either she truly didn't know him, or she was an excellent actress.
Trejo and the Andalinians attacked Miromara, Sarah explained.
I wouldn't go there if I were you, Astrid warned.
Sarah ignored her.
They captured Neela and me and held us prisoner. Trejo knows about the nightmare, the chant, and the Iyele. He wanted the names of the other mermaids who'd been summoned, and he wanted to know if any of us had already found any talismans.
What did you tell him?
That I didn't know what he was talking about, which didn't go over well. He threatened to cut my fingers off, so I gave him fake names. Luckily, we escaped before he could check them out.
Does Trejo know what the talismans are?
I think so. If he didn't, he would have asked me. He only asked where they are.
But how could he know what they are? Not even the Iyele know that, Ling said, still concentrating on her letter tiles.
Good point, Sarah conceded. But he's after them, so he must know.
Even if we were to find the talismans and get to the southern sea before this Trejo does, we have no idea how to kill the monster, Becca said.
Because it can't be killed. I'll say it again. Meadow and her fellow mages couldn't do it. What makes you think we can? Astrid asked.
What's she afraid of? Serafina wondered. She fought Abaddon like a tiger shark. How could someone that tough be afraid of anything?
It's not a question of can we, Ling said. You saw what that thing did to Atlantis. It'll do it again if it gets out. We have to stop asking ourselves, can we do this, and should we do this? There's only one question we need to ask. How?
Becca nodded. Ling's right, she said. She pulled out the piece of parchment she'd written notes on earlier and looked it over. We can't do anything until we find the talismans.
True, Ava said. So we have to backtrack. We have to progress logically from the fall of Atlantis when the talismans were last used.
Progress. The word pushed at Serafina's mind.
Why?
She turned the word over and over in her head, sensing that it was important somehow, but unable to grasp how it connected to Abaddon, the Carceron, or the talismans.
To the rise of Miramara, Mero's realm. Then we progress to... Progress. Mero.
Becca, that's it! Serafina shouted. Her progress! Meadow's progress! You're a genius!
I am? Becca said, startled. Do you know what the talismans are, Sarah? Or where Meadow hid them?
Ava asked.
No, I don't know the what or the where. I wish I did. But Merles, I think I know the when.
Chapter 45 Serafina was so excited, she was talking a million words a minute.
I'm working on the term conch on Meadow's progress, she said. I mean, I was working on it, before Cerulea was attacked. I spent hours in the Ostrakhan.
Wait, Sarah, slow down, Ling said. What's a progress? Serafina explained.
10 years after Atlantis was destroyed, Meadow made a journey throughout the waters of the world. She said she was scouting out safe places for the merfolk to live. Her people were thriving and she knew they would need more space than Miromara could offer. She took a handful of her ministers with her and a few servants. It was the only time in her entire reign that she left Miromara.
You think she was really hiding the talismans? Said Ava.
I do.
Why wouldn't she hide them in Miromara? Astrid asked.
Too risky. There were always courtiers around. Someone would have seen her, Serafina said. As I was saying, Cerulea's Ostrakhan has a large collection of conches on Mero's progress. I've listened to about 20 so far, but there are way more than that. Maybe one of them can tell us exactly where she went, and the most dangerous places she visited. That's where she would have hidden the talismans.
Astrid gave her a skeptical look. But Meadow could have hidden the talismans anywhere.
I know that, Astrid, but it's something. It's a start, Serafina said.
Merles, here's another one, Ling said, pointing at her letter tiles.
Look!
She spelled out three separate words. Shokoreth, Apatheon, and the Magitor.
Look at what, it's all nonsense, Astrid said.
That's what I thought, too, but they're real words, words that Abaddon said.
I thought it was just making monster noises, but it's not, it's talking.
The first word is Arabic, the second Greek, the third Romanian. They all mean the same thing. Deceiver. Why would it say the same word over and over again and in different languages? Becca asked. I don't know. These words here, she pointed to another row of tiles. Daimonas tis morsa mean demon of morsa. Morsa's an old goddess, right? Ava said. No one really talks about her. She's a seriously dark goddess, Ling said. The old myths say she was the scavenger goddess and took the form of a jackal. It was the job of Horik, the ancient coelacanth god, to carry the souls of the dead to the underworld, and it was Morsa's job to take away their bodies. But Morsa wanted more power, so she started practicing necromancy. She planned to make an army of the dead and overthrow Neria. Neria found out and was furious. She punished Morsa by giving her the face of death and the body of a serpent. Then she placed a crown of scorpions on her head and banished her. Wow, that's cold. Moral of the story, never mess with Neria, Neela said. There was a temple built to Morsa on Atlantis, Serafina said. It might tell us more, Becca offered, if only we could get to it. Fat chance. It's surrounded by Opafago. They'd rip your head off before you got within 5 leagues of the place, Astrid said. Why is that? I've always wondered. Why is it that a bunch of bloodthirsty cannibals was allowed to take over the ruins of Atlantis? Neela asked. Because Meryl forced them into the barrens of Tyra, the waters around Atlantis, Serafina explained. The Opafago lit the Miromara and hunted Myr. Meryl wanted that stopped, so she used her aqua guerrieri to encircle them and herd them into the barrens. Meryl didn't think that one through, did she? Neela mused. It's the most important archaeological site to the Myr, but because of the Opafago, we can't even set Finn in it. I thought that too, Serafina said. I thought it was just another one of her unfathomable decrees, until Raja told us how Atlantis was really destroyed. According to historians, Meryl said she put the Opafago in the waters around Atlantis because she needed somewhere to put them and the ruins were, well, ruins and useless. But now I think she settled the Opafago there on purpose, to prevent anyone from ever exploring them. In case they learn the truth, Ava said. Exactly. There are clues we need in those ruins, I'm sure of it. If only we could get to them, Serafina said.
The Opafago eat their victims alive, you know, said Astrid. While their hearts still beating and their blood still pumping, the flesh is juicier that way.
What a ray of light you are, Ling said. She got up from the table. We can't get to Atlantis, but we can observe Abaddon. And I'm going to do just that. First thing tomorrow. Ava saw that it hates light. I need to find out if it has other weaknesses. I got something out of it today. Deceiver. It's not much. It's not a talisman. But like Sera said, it's a start. She yawned and told the others she was turning in. Becca, Neela, and Ava were right behind her. Sera didn't join them. She wasn't tired. She was busy thinking. Astrid had gone back to bouncing her Kabbalah bong ball.
How are you going to do all this, Serafina? How are you going to get into your astrocon to listen to conches when Cerulea's occupied? How are you going to get into Atlantis? How are you going to kill Abaddon?
I don't know yet, but maybe I can get help. If I can find my uncle and my brother, they may have ideas. If my mother's still alive.
Astrid cut her off. If, she said. This isn't a start, it's an end. You're going to get yourself killed. She glanced in the direction of the bedroom. And you're going to get them killed, too. This whole thing's a joke. She threw her ball harder. And here's another one. Me being a descendant of Orpheus, the greatest mage who ever lived.
Astrid said those last words to herself, but Serafina heard them. Why can't she accept that Orpheus her ancestor? Is it because of what he did? Or is there more to it? She wondered. Hey, Astrid, Baba Raja's right, you know. Magic is what you make it. Just because Orpheus was evil doesn't mean you are. Evil isn't inherited. Like eye color or something.
Astrid stopped bouncing her ball. She looked at Serafina. It's not that. I mean, having Orpheus in your family coral branch is totally low tide, but...
But what?
Astrid shook her head.
Astrid, what is it?
Nothing, really. Forget it.
Okay, forgotten.
Serafina, frustrated by Astrid's unwillingness to talk, scooped the tiles Ling had left on the table into their bag. She picked up the stray cups and put them on a tray. Astrid bounced her ball harder.
It wasn't us, she said suddenly. She whirled around to face Serafina. The ball went flying across the room. I want you to know that. Andalina didn't invade Miromara. We didn't attack Cerulea. We didn't send an assassin. My father would never do such a thing. He would never hurt Isabella or Bastian or the Matalis. He values them and the peace between our realms too highly. His own sister lives in Miromara, in Sarno, as you know. He wouldn't risk her life. Serafina weighed Astrid's words. Then she said,
He broke the Permutavi, though. It's been honored by both kingdoms for 100 years. You were supposed to come to Miromara, and Desiderio was supposed to go to Andalina, just like your Aunt Sigurlin and my Uncle Ludovico did at the last Permutavi. Why did he break it?
Astrid sat down across from Serafina.
There are reasons, she said. If you knew, if I could tell you.
Her hands, resting on top of the table, knotted into fists. Her long blonde hair, pale as moonlight, swirled around her shoulders. Her ice-blue eyes sought Serafina's. In them, Serafina could see a yearning to talk, to share what was troubling her.
Astrid, seriously, Abaddon's the enemy, you know? Not me, not Miromara, Serafina said,
surprised by her own sudden desire to talk to this difficult Merle.
We didn't send any assassins either. The last thing my mother wants is war. Not for her people, not for yours. You said there were reasons why Andalina broke the Permutavi. What are they? Tell me.
Serafina held Astrid's gaze. For a few seconds, she was certain Astrid would confide in her. But instead of talking, Astrid brusquely pushed back her chair and rose.
I can't, she said helplessly. I just can't.
She swam toward the bedroom. When she got to the door, she turned back to Serafina.
I'm sorry, she said,
and then she was gone. Serafina looked at the empty space at the doorway.
Yeah, she said softly. Me too.
Chapter 46
She's gone,
Serafina said angrily. She'd just swum into Vraja's study. It was early the next morning.
Are you surprised?
Vraja asked. She was sitting in her chair of bones and antlers, wearing a dress the color of oxblood. Its high neckline was trimmed with tiny bird skulls, its bodice beaded with hawk talons, wolf's teeth, and polished bits of turtle shell.
You knew? I heard her leave early this morning. Why didn't you stop her?
How? Should I have taken her prisoner? There was no stopping her, Vraja said. She does not wish to be here. Sit down, child.
Serafina sat in the chair opposite her.
We're supposed to be the six, she said.
It looks like you are now the five, Vraja said.
How can we destroy the monster without her?
I don't know. But then again, I don't know how you would have done it with her.
She's scared, Serafina said.
You would have to be mad not to be scared of Abaddon.
I don't think she's scared of Abaddon. I mean, any more than the rest of us are. It's something else that she's swimming from. I don't know what it is.
Is it Astrid you speak of, or yourself?
Vraja asked shrewdly. Serafina looked at her as if she hadn't heard her correctly.
Astrid, she said. Because she's the one who's swimming away.
So are you, child.
No, I'm not, Serafina said. I stayed, Baba Vraja, right here with the others. We're making our plans, trying to figure this all out. Ling's on her way to listen to Abaddon, to try to decipher more of its words. Becca's asking the witch who brought our breakfast how to cast an Oki. Nila's practicing her light bombs, Vraja cut her off.
And you?
I'm plotting a route to the Cobalt's waters, to see if the rumors are true and my uncle is there, and to find out whatever I can about my mother and brother. With their help, maybe I can get back to Cerulea, and the Ostrakan, so I can listen to Conscious on Meadow's progress. We think she hid the talismans during that journey. The Conscious might give us clues as to where.
Meadow's progress? Excellent thinking, Vraja said. But tell me, why go north first?
I did tell you, because my uncle's there.
And your people? Are they in the north or in Miromara?
In Miromara, but...
Vraja nodded.
Precisely. You are fleeing too, child. From that which scares you most.
That's not true. Cerulea is occupied. I can't go back to it without my uncle's help.
Vraja gave her a long look.
You treat rumors as certainties. Your mother was badly wounded. Your uncle and brother are missing. Yet you speak of all three as if they are alive and well and just waiting for you to find them at any second. How will you face that which is Abaddon if you cannot first face your own truth?
Seraphina looked at the floor. Braja's words angered her, but more than that, they cut her, deeply, because they were true.
You fear you will fail at the very thing you were born for, Braja said, and your fear torments you, so you try to swim away from it. Instead of shunning your fear, you must let it speak and listen carefully to what it's trying to tell you. It will give you good counsel.
Seraphina picked her head up.
But all I do is make mistakes, Baba Vraja. I couldn't help my father. I couldn't save my mother. I trusted people I shouldn't have. I went shoaling and got Ling caught in a trawler's net. I couldn't even convince Astrid to stay.
Seraphina blinked back tears, then said,
My mother wouldn't have made any of those mistakes. She's better than that. I'm not like her. I'm not like you.
Vraja laughed.
Not like me? I should hope not. Let me tell you about me, child. About 200 years ago, the old Oborchier was dying. The elders came to fetch me so she could tell me all the things I needed to know. I was so scared it took the elders an hour to coax me out of my room. One is not born knowing how to lead. One learns.
But Baba Vraja, I don't have time to learn, Seraphina said. What's happening in the waters, right now, is life or death. My people, my friends, they deserve the best leader they can get, not me.
Vraja threw her hands up.
If you wish to be the best leader, I cannot help you, for there is no such thing. We all make our mistakes, and we all must live with them. If you wish to be a good leader, perhaps I can. Listen to me, child. Astrid swam away because she does not believe.
In Abaddon? How can she not? She saw him, fought him, we all did.
No, in herself. Help the others believe, Seraphina. Help Ling believe she can break through the silences. Help Nila believe her greatest power comes from within, not without. Help Becca believe the warmest fire is the one that's shared. Help Ava believe the gods did know what they were doing. That's what a leader does. She inspires others to believe in themselves.
But how, Baba Vraja? Seraphina said helplessly. Teach me how.
Seraphina, can't you see?
Vraja said. She reached across her desk and took her hand.
By first believing in yourself.
Chapter 47. The River Witch Magdalena looked at the spidery crack Nila had just put into the cave's wall and shook her head.
You're dead. You missed him by a mile, she said. And then it was his turn, and he didn't miss.
Nila wiped a drop of blood from her nose.
Try again.
She's bleeding, Seraphina said. She needs a rest.
Seraphina was sitting on the floor of an empty cave that Iele used for spell practice, recovering. Nila, Ava, and Becca were with her. Ling was with Abaddon, where she'd spent most of the last 4 days. Before Nila's turn, Magdalena had made Seraphina cast an Apa Piatra, an old Romanian protection song spell in which she had to raise a wall of water 10 feet high, then make it as hard as stone in order to shield herself from an attack. She'd held it up for a full 2 minutes, but the effort had left her with a blinding headache.
Here,
Magdalena said now, handing Nila a cloth for her nose.
You're pushing her too hard, Seraphina protested, worried about her friend.
Abaddon will push her even harder, said Magdalena.
It's okay, Sarah, I'm good. Let's do it,
Nila said, stuffing the bloody cloth in her pocket. Magdalena swam a few feet to the right of the crack. She picked up a rock and scratched a hulking figure with horns and a big ugly face on the wall, then drew an X in the middle of its forehead.
Right there, she said, tapping the X. Focus.
Nila, looking at the cave floor, nodded.
Bring it, baby Merle, Ava called out. Right between the eyes, Nila,
Becca said.
Focus, Draga, Magdalena said.
Nila picked her head up. She fixed her gaze on the X and started to sing.
I summon to me rays of light and make of them a weapon bright.
As she did, light leapt toward her from the room's lava globes. She caught it and whirled it into a ball, just as she always did when casting a Fragger Lux. But this time, she made the ball smaller, tighter, and harder, just as Magdalena had taught her.
Magic help me fight the dark, guide this missile to its mark.
With a loud cry, she launched the frag as hard and fast as she could. It hit the wall with an explosive impact. Everyone ducked as shattered rock flew through the water. When the silt settled, there was nothing but a deep hole where Abaddon's head had been.
Excellent, Magdalena shouted. Well done.
That was amazing, Becca said. Neela smiled. A bright gush of blood burst from her nose.
Neela, Serafina cried. She swam to her friend, pulled the cloth from her pocket, and pressed it to her nose.
That's it. You're done, she said. The magic is supposed to explode Abaddon's head, not your own. Come and sit down.
As she watched Neela pinch her nose, Sarah thought how right Raja had been. They were stronger when they were together. But their new powers took a toll. Headaches and nosebleeds were only part of it. The hard training they did together also gave them bruises and cramps. Ava had been sick to her stomach several times. Ling's broken wrist started paining her fiercely. They were all exhausted. Magdalena, who would become the next Oborcier, was helping them develop the powers passed down by their mage ancestors and teaching them some old Romanian spells of the Iele. There was much they had to learn if they were going to fight Abaddon and too little time in which to learn it. Magdalena didn't give them many breaks.
Becca, you're up next, she said now. Sing a good, strong Frakari spell. Call up some wrath-kicking water fire.
Becca rose and swam to the other end of the cave. She positioned herself so that she was floating just inches off the cave floor, then began to songcast.
Whirl around me, like a gyre, this I ask you, ancient fire.
Faint, flickering fingers of water fire snaked up out of the ground in a circle around her, summoned from the earth's molten core. Magdalena snorted.
You call that water fire? Those flames couldn't heat a teapot. You're not focusing. You have to be able to call the fire every time you need it. What happens if Abaddon's advancing on you and you can't make the fire come? You die. Do it again, she said.
Becca took a deep breath and started over. Her voice was louder now and more forceful.
Whirl around me like a gyre. This I ask you, ancient fire. Hot blue flames, throw your heat. Cause my enemy to retreat.
As the last note left her lips, there was a loud whoosh. The water fire shot up in a roiling orange column all the way to the top of the cave. Becca was lost inside it. Magdalena cupped her hands around her mouth.
Becca! Becca, can you hear me? Dial it back! She shouted.
All at once, the fire collapsed, its flames sinking back into the earth. Becca was still floating slightly off the ground. She looked dazed. Her curls were singed. Her dress was scorched. She'd burst a small blood vessel near one eye.
Your powers grow by the hour, Magdalena said. Unfortunately, your mastery of them does not.
She needs more time. We all do, Serafina said.
You don't have it, and I can't give it to you. What I can give you is help channeling your magic, if you want it, Magdalena said crisply. Ava, you're next. I want you to cast an Oki just like you did yesterday. I want you to hold it and then go right into a convoca so you can show it to the others. Do you think you can do it?
Ava nodded. Serafina knew the Oki was a hard spell to cast. It was what the Iele used to watch Abaddon. It required that a gundok, or bug, be planted near the person or thing the songcaster wished to observe in order to catch the spell and hold it there. Shells, with their ability to capture sound, worked best. They'd all tried casting Okis. Serafina had only been able to see around a corner. Ling had been able to see into Raja's study. The Oborcier had looked up from her desk, amused, and waved. Neela and Becca had seen the Malakostraka. Ava had been able to see Abaddon by using the same gundok the Iele used, a shell cast of gold that Sycorax had once worn on a chain around her neck. Generations ago, Abaddon had slashed at Sycorax through the bars of the gate, mortally wounding her. His claws had caught her necklace and ripped it off. As it sank through the water, its chain got tangled in one of the crossbars at the bottom of the gate. It hung there still, glazed with ice, unnoticed by the monster. Today Ava had only been able to hold her vision of Abaddon for about 30 seconds, but Magdalena was amazed she'd done it at all. As hard as an Oki was, a convoca, or summoning spell, was even more difficult. It was what Vraja herself had cast to call them here. Magdalena wanted them all to be able to learn it, because it could be used not only for summoning people, but also for communicating with them. Ava concentrated. Her eyes could no longer see, but her mind still could. Sarah wondered what she was going to try to show them. Not Abaddon, she hoped.
Do you have it? Magdalena asked.
Ava nodded.
I'm going to try to show you Makapa, my home. I'll use one of the shells on my windowsill as the gundok, she explained.
Ambitious, I like it, Magdalena said approvingly.
Ava began her song spell.
Gods of darkness, hear my plight. Give to me the gift of sight. Gods of light, from up above, help me see the place I love.
Ava was smiling now.
A river wide, a river fast, I ask you now to help me cast a vision clear to show my friends, my home, the place the river ends.
Serafina closed her eyes, waiting for Ava to shift from Oki to Kanvoka, expecting to see in her mind's eye the Amazon River, where her friend had grown up. Instead, she saw herself. A split second later, she heard a voice inside her head.
Sera, is that you?
Ava! Wow, I'm in your head, Gatina!
This is weird, Ava.
Ava? Sera?
Nila?
Yes.
Hey there!
Becca!
Yeah, it's me. I can hear you, Ava. I can hear all of you.
Another voice chimed in, Magdalena's.
Well, the Kanvoka obviously worked, since Ava is talking to us without talking to us. But the Oki is a total fail. You're supposed to be showing us something far away, the Amazon, right? But all I'm seeing is Sera, and she's right next to me.
Wait a minute, Serafina said as the image came more sharply into focus. That's not the practice cave. And what on earth am I wearing? The Serafina in the image was clad in armor and riding a huge black hippocamp. She was bellowing at soldiers, moving them into position. The mermaid soon saw why. On the other end of the field, a fearsome army was amassing. Ava let out a low whistle.
Meo Deus! Those are some mad ugly goblins, she said.
Feuer Kumpel, Becca said grimly.
Sera, watch out! Nila shouted.
A goblin had crept up behind Serafina. His black hair stood high in a topknot. He had a sallow face pocked by lava burns, nostrils but no nose, and a mouthful of sharp teeth, blackened by rot. His small, brutal eyes were as transparent as jellyfish. Serafina could see the network of veins running through them, pulsing with brown blood, and behind them, the dull yellow of his brain. Hard, bony black plates, like the chitin of a crab, covered his body. He was carrying a double-headed axe, its blades curved like crescent moons. As the mermaids watched, he raised it high over his head, then swung it.
No!
Ava screamed. She scrabbled backward on the floor, as if trying to get away from the vision. As quickly as it had come, it disappeared.
Que diablo! She said out loud. What was that?
Your gift growing stronger, Magdalena said.
No way! It's not my gift! My gift is sight! It always has been! I can see the truth! I can see what really is!
No, Ava. Not anymore. Your ancestor Nix not only saw what is, he saw what will be. He had the power of prophecy. You do too. You just never felt it until now. It's being near the others that's bringing it out.
So I saw something from the future, Ava asked.
I think so, Magdalena replied.
Great, Serafina said. Looks like we have a battle with axe-wielding goblins to look forward to. I'm so happy about that. Because, you know, Abaddon just isn't enough of a challenge for me.
Magdalena!
A voice called from the doorway. It was Tatiana, another one of the Iele.
Baba Vraja wants to see you, right away!
There was panic in her voice.
What's wrong? Magdalena asked.
Captain Trejo just entered the mouth of the Oath. The Kadavru saw him.
So? He's done it before. It's only a search party, Magdalena said.
He has 500 death riders with him. 500!
Tatiana said, her voice edging toward hysteria.
Calm down, Tatiana. He doesn't know where we are, Magdalena said. No one knows where we are.
He does now. It was Ling. She was leaning on the door jamb, panting. Her face was flushed from swimming fast.
But how is that possible? Who told him?
Magdalena asked.
Abaddon.
Chapter 48.
I was so wrong, Ling said.
She swam into the room.
All this time, I thought Abaddon was talking to itself, she said. Monster speaks like 200 languages, and a lot of them are very old forms. That's why it took me so long to see the pattern. I mean, ever tried to make sense of ancient Abahata?
What pattern, Ling? What are you saying? Serafina asked, alarmed.
I'm saying that Abaddon talks, but not to itself. It talks about us, constantly. I didn't understand at first. It kept changing languages, so I couldn't follow what it was saying. But now I can. Here, look. I wrote down a lot of its words.
She showed them a piece of parchment. It was covered with lines.
6 children the witch sends to defeat Abaddon. Scared little children. Stupid and weak. They will not find the talismans. They will die. Their realms will fall. And Abaddon will rise again, she read aloud.
Then she looked at the others.
It hears everything spoken in these caves. It says our names. Where we're from.
who our mage ancestors were, what our powers are. It talks about everything we've talked about for the past few days, about landmarks, the ones Raja gave us to lead us here. It talks about the Malakostraka, because we talked about them and it hurt us, she said.
Oh no, Becca whispered.
Look, do you see this word here? Kyrios. And these? Ju, Stopan, Dominus. They all mean the same thing. Master, it's talking to Trejo, or Colfin, or whoever wants to free it. It's telling him everything, Ling said.
Which means he knows where we are, Serafina said, fear squeezing her stomach.
And how to get here, Becca said.
If the Death Riders find the entrance to these caves, Neela said.
You mean when they find it? If Abaddon told Trejo about the landmarks, the Maiden's Leap, the bones, the waters of the Malakostraka, then it's only a matter of time.
You have to get out of here, Magdalena said. There's a tunnel beneath our caves. It will take you several leagues south of here, well away from Trejo and his soldiers. Get your things and meet me in Raja's study.
She left then, swimming rapidly after Tatiana. Fury rose from deep in Serafina's heart, like water fire from the depths of the earth. It pushed out the fear. Trejo was forcing them to flee again. He'd torn her away from her home, from the safety at the Duca's Palazzo, and from Blue. Now he was tearing her apart from the other mermaids when they'd only just come together.
She's right, Ling said. We better not be here when Trejo knocks on the door.
No, forget it. I'm not leaving. Not like this, Serafina said defiantly.
But we can't stay, Becca said.
We'll go, but not yet. First, let's really give Abaddon something to talk about.
Such as?
A bloodbind.
Whoa, Ling said.
Really?
Really.
It's dark song, Sera, Ava said. It's Canta Malus.
These are dark times, Serafina replied.
Canta Malus was said to have been a poisonous gift to the Myrrh from Morsa, in mockery of Neria's gifts. The invocation of some Malus spells could get the caster imprisoned, the Klepio spells, used for sealing, a Habeo, which took control of another's mind or body, the Noserus, used to cause harm, and the next song spell, which was used to kill.
Outlaws use bloodbinds, Becca said, so they can never turn against each other.
Trejo has made outlaws of us, Sarah countered.
A bloodbind is forever. You break it, you die, Ava said.
I know that, Sarah said. I want to show Trejo that we mean it, that we're all in. Abaddon called us a lot of things. It's right about one. We're scared, but we're not stupid. We're not weak, we're not children, and we won't quit. I still don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how to use all my powers. I don't even know how to stop Neela's nosebleed. But I do know this. I will fight to the death with you, and for you. It's time Abaddon and Trejo and every single low-tide Death Rider knew that too.
I'm so in, Ling said.
Me too, Becca and Neela said.
And me, Ava said.
When do we do it?
Now, Serafina said.
Where? Becca asked.
In the Incantarium, by the water fire, to make sure Abaddon hears us, loud and clear.
Chapter 49. Hey, can I borrow that? Thanks! Ling got the halberd away from the guard with a magnetis spell before he even knew what had happened. As he was blinking at his empty hands, she swam into the Incantarium, ducked under the arms of a circling Encanta, and stuck the weapon's axe-like blade through the water fire. Serafina and the others followed her into the room. Baby swam behind them.
Hey! Hey, Blabbermouth! Wake up! Ling yelled, poking the rippling image of the Carceron.
Great Neria! What are you doing? An Encanta shouted. You'll get yourself killed!
It's a strong possibility, Ling said. She peered at the Carceron's gates. There was only darkness behind them.
Hey! Are you listening, you sorry sack of silt? She shouted. Then listen to this! We're doing a bind! A blood bind. You hear that? I said a blood bind, monster man. Tell that to your boss.
She backed away from the water fire and waited. Serafina felt her heart slamming in her chest. At first there was only silence, but then they could hear a low growl. A few seconds later, something moved in the darkness. An arm shot out from between the bars, and then two more. They pushed through the oki, through the water, and into the Incantarium. Hands opened like dark, sinister sea flowers. The eyes in the center of their palms stared.
You watching, son? Keep watching. We'll see who's weak.
Ling swam away from the water fire and threw the halberd down. The others were waiting for her.
There you are!
It was Magdalena, breathless.
I'm to lead you out of here and into the tunnel. Baba Vraja's orders. All of us are to go except the Incanti. If we hurry, we can make the Dunara by nightfall.
The mermaids ignored her. Serafina pulled her dagger from a pocket.
Didn't you hear me? Magdalena said. We've got to go!
Serafina held the dagger in her right hand and turned her left palm up. Without flinching, she drew the blade across her flesh. Her blood spiraled through the water. As it did, she sang, clearly, loudly, with everything inside her.
Abaddon, your end has come! This we vow, as chosen ones! Drop by drop, our blood is binding, forever lives and fates entwining!
Abaddon growled menacingly. More hands appeared. Sarah knew they could have struck at her easily, but they didn't. Abaddon wanted to see what the Merles were doing, so it could tell its master. Good, Serafina thought. Neela took the dagger next and sliced her own palm. Her blood rose in the water. As she covered Serafina's hand with her own, she sang.
Our spell is strong, and soon our blood will turn the tide and stem the flood of Orpheus' evil, dark and dread, that wakes now from its icy bed.
Becca followed Neela. Abaddon shrieked. It shook the bars of the Carceron.
Together, we'll find the magic pieces belonging to the six who ruled, hidden under treacherous waters after light and darkness dueled.
Ava was next.
These talismans won't be united in anger, greed, or deadly rage, but with boldness, trust, and courage as we unlock destruction's cage.
Ling was last. She winced as she gripped the dagger with her bad hand, then cut the palm of her good one. As her blood rose in the water and she covered Ava's hand, she sang the end of the bloodbind.
We've gathered here from sea and river with a purpose brave and true. We vow to drive an ancient evil from our home, the vast deep blue.
As the last notes of the song spell rose, the blood of all five mermaids spiraled together into a crimson helix and wrapped itself around their hands. Like the sea pulling the tide back to itself, their flesh summoned the blood's return. It came, flowing back through the water, back through the wounds. The slashed edges of their palms closed and healed. A scar was left on each hand, a livid reminder that each carried the blood of the others now. Sarah felt that blood inside her. She heard it singing in her veins and thundering through her heart, making her stronger and braver than ever before. Neela, Ling, Becca, Ava, they were more than her friends now. They were her sisters, blood-bound forever. It wasn't over, this quest that Vraja had given them. It had only just begun. Sarah had no idea if any of them would survive the darkness and danger that lay ahead, but she knew they'd give everything they were, and everything they had, even their lives, to defeat the evil in the Southern Sea. She could see their determination in Ling's challenging gaze, in the defiant tilt of Ava's head, in the way Becca held herself so straight and true, and in the brilliance of Neela's glow. Ling left the group now and swam to the water fire. Abaddon moved closer to the bars.
Did you get a good look, Monster Man? Did you see the bloodbind? She asked it. Go, call for your master. You have lots to tell him now.
But Abaddon didn't move. Becca joined Ling. She sang a powerful flakari. The water fire flared high and hot, surging through the bars of the Carceron. Abaddon roared. It flailed madly at the flames, then ran back into the prison's depths. They heard its voice grow fainter and fainter until they couldn't hear it at all.
You finished? Magdalena asked. Because you've got to get out of here. We're running out of time.
They cannot. The tunnels are sealed now. The caves are empty. Everyone is gone except those of us in this room.
It was Vraja. She had a satchel slung over her back and was bolting the doors to the Incantarium.
In the gods' names, why are you still here? You were told to leave.
We cast a bloodbind in front of Abaddon. We vowed we would find the talismans, unlock the Carceron, and kill it. The bind can only be broken by death, Serafina said.
Which may happen sooner than you think if you don't go now, Vraja said.
How? You just locked the doors, Becca said. Vraja swam to the far end of the room. A tall object rested against one wall, draped in black cloth. Serafina hadn't noticed it before. Vraja yanked the cloth. It fell away to reveal a looking glass.
I cast a barricada, a strong blocking spell. It'll hold them off until you escape through the mirror.
The Obosier had just finished speaking when a massive explosion came from above. Shockwaves tore through the water.
They're here, Vraja said.
For the first time, Serafina saw fear in her eyes.
But they were at the mouth of the Olt only minutes ago, Becca said, casting a frightened glance at the door. It takes longer than a few minutes to get to these caves.
I dare say this Trejo knows how to cast a velo. Most military mermen know how to speed their troops. Into the mirror with you. Hurry.
Let's go in together, Neela said. There's strength in numbers.
No, you mustn't travel together. We cannot afford for all five of you to be taken, Raja said.
There was a pounding, sudden and loud. Trejo was on the other side of the door. Serafina knew it was iron and impervious to magic. He was trying to batter it down.
Take these, Raja said.
She dug in her satchel, pulled out vials of liquid, and handed them around.
It's Moses potion, from the Moses soul in the Red Sea. Sharks hate it. Maybe Death Riders do, too. Here are some quartz pebbles charmed with transparency spells. And some ink bombs. They are crude, but effective. They've gotten me out of more scrapes than I care to remember.
Raja dug once more, pulled out a handful of dead beetles, and gave some to each mermaid.
I had hoped to teach you the secrets of mirror travel, but there's no time. As soon as you're in the silver, rattle these beetles. There are silverfish in the mirror, large, fast creatures who love to eat them. One will come to you. Tell it where you need to go, and it will take you. Hopefully you'll be out of Rorim's realm before he knows you were in. Neela, you first.
But Baba Vraja, I'm not ready for this, she said, pocketing her beetles.
The battering grew louder.
Go, child, Raja said.
How will we contact each other? Neela asked.
A convoca, the mirror, a pelican if you must.
Sarah threw her arms around Neela and hugged her goodbye.
Don't be scared, Niels, she said. Nothing and no one is more invincible than you.
Becca was next, then Ava with baby, then Ling. Sarah felt as if each was taking a piece of her heart with them. The iron door groaned under the pounding of Trejo's troops. She could hear their voices coming from the other side. A hinge came loose with a wrenching screech.
It's your turn, Sarah. Go now, Raja said.
She held her close and kissed her.
I may not see you again, not in this life.
No, Baba Vraja, don't say that, please.
Godspeed, child. The hopes of all the waters of the world lie with you now. Find the talismans, kill the monster, before the dream dies and the nightmare rises.
Another hinge gave way. The door crashed into the room.
Go!
Raja cried. Serafina leapt into the mirror and the liquid silver closed around her. She looked back, with tears in her eyes, in time to see Death Riders flood into the Incantarium, in time to see Trejo break the circle, in time to see Raja pick up a rock and smash the mirror.
This is B. Miller, and here's a sample of my new song, Open Your Eyes.
We can fight the dark, this is who we are.
And here's a sample of my new song, Fire and Gold. This is B. Miller. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Deep Blue by Jennifer Donnelly. This program was directed by Christina Rooney, executive producer Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 2014 by Disney Enterprises, Inc. Production copyright 2014, Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.